Brought to you by Nineworks.co.uk, the fastest growing online Porsche community, supported by the Nineworks Marketplace. Nineworks Radio is your dedicated Porsche and car podcast, hosted by Lee Sibley, Andy Brooks, and Max Newman. Nineworks Radio is carefully produced with special input from experts around the industry and powered by our valued members of the Nineworks Driven Not Hidden Collective.
We're rolling, are we?
Rolling.
Amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Max Newman.
Woo-hoo! He's back.
Welcome back to Nineworks Radio. It's ironic because it's your return after a brief hiatus to Nineworks Radio on the day that Nestle have announced Caramac.
Yeah.
It's out of production. After 64 long years, I thought, he's not that old. He's getting on a bit. But
I thought you were trying to tell me something.
Caramac. Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
it was like a subliminal message to not come back.
Well, a little bit. No. We were speculating. I was speculating. I won't rope Andy into this madness. I thought we'd lost you to the shipping forecast. But no, you're all good. So how you been, mate? You've been Porsche spotting in the Southwest.
Well, not many Porsches to spot.
that's why you were gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was trying. There weren't a lot to see. Just a snotty old
906
Targa full of condensation.
Was it? Bet that was a tipper as well.
Well, I couldn't even see because of the bloody condensation on the window.
Amazing.
There's nothing to see in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the only 911 I saw in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
987 Cayman, a couple of Macans on their way to St. Ives.
It's a good place to go and spot weird cars that you haven't seen for about 20 years down
like
there.
MG Maestros and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like, I haven't seen a Renault Fuego for years. And there one is down in Cornwall.
Yeah.
It's that sort of place, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Not many sports cars.
Yeah, there are odd things like that, but it's not good for Porsche. No. Although we didn't get a chance to go there. I had a little plan out, just a bit outside of Penzance, near St. Michael's Mount, there's a Porsche specialist called Sterling's. And I thought, I'll just log where they are. And maybe one day when Mandy and I are out and about, I'll be like, oh, look at that. That's a Porsche place. We're going to have to go in there and have a look. So I had that all planned out, but I didn't even get the chance to pretend that I didn't know it was there, as it turned out.
Vetoed.
So it was pretty. It was a pretty barren spell for cars, I've got to admit.
Yeah. But yesterday you sent me a picture of yourself sitting behind the wheel of what looked like a 997.
Well, may have looked like a 997. Well, it was a 997. That's not
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So I had I was thinking about it last week. You know what it's like when you're on holiday. Last time I went to Cornwall, I ended up buying a Macan.
I always buy cars when I'm just about to go on holiday or on holiday.
Yeah. On holiday. You have 48 hours of being on holiday and then the rest of the break is just scouring the classifieds.
Yeah. Because there's time, isn't there? There's time to strategize.
Yeah.
And think about things. So I think at one point on holiday, I was selling all three cars and starting again.
You can imagine that as well, can't you?
I spent two or three days talking Mandy through that plan.
Yeah.
She was sort of getting on board with it, but even...
What was she driving at the end of it?
At the end of it, we were driving the smallest car that could sensibly have a roof box on it and possibly get enough people in it.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
smart four.
Not that small. And then I did actually see one just around the corner, the VW T-Roc.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
which
yeah.
is polo-based.
Is it really?
I was looking at it, and I thought, actually, maybe that's just too small.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work. So I started to row back from that idea. I thought, okay, I've got to keep the A1. And then my second idea was to go down a more common route or a popular route that I don't do, which was to sell both of the Porsches, the Boxster and the Macan, and buy a Junker for my daily to put more money into one Porsche.
Yeah.
Which is something that I've never done because I like to, I like to do all my driving in cars that I like.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, so I started to look on the classifieds at 2 litre TDI Passat Estates. Oh. I thought, I wonder what money you can get one of them for.
After 2 weeks of what would be, and after, you know, we did a 10-day stretch in America, so it, you know, the intense shifting of the 3-car garage and all of that, I could imagine it was pretty fierce down there in Cornwall. is Mandy still around, or is she gonna stick out for a bit longer? Or
it's pretty intense stuff. You know, I take this stuff very seriously. You know, I've always quite liked the idea of a Passat All Track. Have you ever seen one of those?
Oh, I like those. Yeah.
I knew you'd be into it. Yeah. I thought you might. It's not very Essex.
A Passat All Track.
Yeah. I've always liked the Audi All Roads and all
it's
that.
It's kind of like it's like a pauper's version of an Audi All Road. Yeah. Do you know what an Audi All Road is?
Yeah.
Sort of like an in between a normal car and an SUV.
Jacked up.
Jack your body. Yeah.
One of those. Yeah.
Basically.
So anyway, I started to talk myself into that, but then on the way back, and that was still on the table even as we were coming back, but Penzance to Quainton via Bristol is quite a long way, and we did that in McCann style, and I thought, do I want to be doing that in a Passat Junker just so I can get a smarter Porsche that I only use at the weekend? I thought, I'm not sure that's my style. I'm maybe going to stick to my guns. But what I was looking at in amongst all of those plans, you know, I was looking on the marketplace and, well, when I was thinking about selling everything and starting again, one of the things that I was looking at, which I think I might have had as gem of the week, I certainly talked about it, is at Lakeside Classics, Henry's got a 991.2 Carrera manual. It's not a T, just a Boggo Carrera. It's white and it's got that RS Spider wheel on it. In silver, I know how much I love a silver wheel.
Beautiful.
That's a really, you might have seen it when you're up there. It's a really mega looking car. Black interior, got the proper seats, the sports seats, you know, the hardback sports seats, pano roof, lovely. I thought, God, maybe if I've got a junker for my daily, maybe I could have that. So I was thinking about that, but he's also got a 997.2 Carrera, you know, similar sort of spec, white with black, manual. You know, just a kind of basic one, but it has got those same seats in it. And ever since I went in Neil Plumpton's 991 GTS, that was my first sit in those seats, because I've never had those.
Yeah.
I had the Tombstones in all three Porsches.
Yeah.
And once I experienced those nice seats in the GTS, I thought, I've got to get these seats.
These
seats are so good. Are they the seats you've got in your 906 now? Have they got the, you know, with a little extra shoulder?
Yeah. I think they're slightly different on the Gen 1.
Oh, are they?
I think, yeah. From memory.
Yeah. But they're lovely. So, and this has got it. So I called Henry whilst we're away, because I...
What serious thoughts?
Well, what I recalled as we were getting on in the holiday, you know, you start to think about work again. You think, right, what's next week? Where am I going? Am I at home? Am I in the office? Am I around the country?
He's planning meetings around the car.
Oh, no. And I thought, well, I've got this meeting in Shropshire on Tuesday.
Well, I have now.
And I thought, that can't be a million miles from Henry. So I got the old Google Maps up, and I thought, right, it's like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So I called Henry and I said, I'm up your way on Tuesday for a meeting in the morning. Are you there? Can I come over? And I told him the cars I was interested in. Of course, he was like, yeah, no problem, come over. So I bossed it over there yesterday lunchtime after my meeting. And I said, look, don't get the 991 out. I did have a sit in it, so I could have a little go on the old gears and all that sort of thing. Bloody lovely that was. But I said, don't even get that out. I can't afford that. I don't even want to drive it. I didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
But I thought, let's have a look at this 997. So him and Chris, they got the 997 out for me. That is really nice.
Mm.
Really, really nice. And we went for a little spin in it. Nothing much, you know, just a little run to the petrol station and a little drive around. Lovely car. It's got those wheels that I like. The, you know, the ones that look like mini lights.
Oh, right. Those wheels. Nice. I know somebody that's got some 18s, the Carrera 4 alloys.
Yeah.
With winter tyres.
Oh.
That he's trying to sell. Up your street?
He's got to buy the car first. Yeah, well,
could complete the package,
couldn't
it?
Kids, yeah.
So, yeah, so that was really good. So it was great being back in the 997. You know, we spent a day with Alex and Ralph at Chartworks, didn't we, when we were in the States? I know we were in the, you know, the very creme de la creme of 997s, yeah. But I just really enjoyed being back in, you know, 997 world, even from the passenger seat. So it was lovely to be back in it, and I did really enjoy it. I did think, though, you know, I sent you guys a first gen 997, a slate grey one the other day, saying I probably ought to buy this. But then I had this voice in my head saying, I'm not sure if I want a car that old again. Of course, the advantage of the Gen 2 997 is the interior, although the architecture is all the same, it just looks a bit better, doesn't it? Because it's black rather than that plastic silver. Yeah. It just looks a more modern car. And this is a 2010 car. So it was definitely felt a bit more still screwed together than my 997 did.
Possibly a bit more mature as well, I would say, where, you know, these plastics are a bit more covered up, aren't they?
Yeah. But as I was driving up there, so I took the Boxster. So I did 250, nearly 300 miles in the Boxster on Tuesday. So that I'll drive it up there so Henry can have a look at it, because that would have to be part of any deal that I did. And as I was driving up, again, I was thinking, do I want to go, you know, I've said before, I really like the modernity of that generation of Porsche sports car, the 991 and the 981. I really like that, some of the toys. I do like it. And I thought, do I want to go to that bit of an older car for a car that I'm going to use a lot? I thought, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, it was a really lovely place to be. The seats are fantastic. Love the seats. And that second gen, especially late, because that's a 2010 car, it was really, really nice. I was reminded how perfect the driving position is in a 997. It's absolutely perfect. And I loved it. But, you know, we talked about it. And, I mean, November isn't the right time to be getting out of a Boxster, is it? And the even the man maths, let alone the actual maths, they just don't work at the moment, unfortunately. But the car is fantastic. There is another interested party. I've taken myself out of that equation now, so I'm not going to be buying it, but it's a beautiful car. It's had pads and discs. It's had the crossover pipes at the front,
which is one
of the things that eventually needs to be done on a 997, and is quite labor intensive. They've done that. It's 20 something thousand miles, main dealer service history. It's really, really fantastic. It's got the switchable exhaust button, but the exhaust is actually a Franklin exhaust. So it looks slightly different. The tips look slightly different. It's still switchable. It sounds mega.
Mm.
It's a great car.
What I really love about that, Max, is when, and again, I said this on a previous podcast, when we pulled up to Alex's at Chartworks and Max just sighed. I said, what's up with you? We're about to, you know, mess around with these Halo 997s for the day. And Max, he said, you know, I can see I'm going to end up buying a bloody another 997 here.
Yeah.
And that was as we pulled up. And again, do you remember at Günther Works, we saw that awesome white 997.2. Just C2, decked, lovely stance, different wheels. That was kind of it, really. Yeah. And it just, it didn't need much more. Yeah. And what I love is, like, you kind of still held on to, you know, they're still tugging at the heartstrings all these weeks later, to the point where you've gone and just, you know, had a dabble. Let's sit behind the wheel. Let's see how it feels. So that's interesting to see how that, if it will develop, but you know.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole, you know, it's, I mean, the Boxster's fantastic, and doing nearly 300 miles in it yesterday on a nice day, you know, bit of motorway miles, bit of, you know, it's bloody brilliant. You know, I liked it more when I got home, actually, even after driving the 997 than I did when I left. Because it was a, you know, it was a long day in it, and it was a nice day, and it is bloody brilliant. But I think I do prefer my engine hanging out the back. Ultimately, you know, if I had to choose, you know, if you can only have one Porsche sports car, which I can only have one, I think ultimately I like my engine at the back. But I love the modernity of the 981. I really do like some of those little, you know, just things like tire pressure monitor. I'm obsessed with tire pressures, and all just the little gadgetry is really, and the cabin architecture is lovely.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And the gear change is an equal to the 997. And the only thing that isn't quite maybe 100% perfect about the 997 driving position when you've driven a 981 Boxster is the gear lever just being that little bit closer to you in the 981. It's quite low.
Yeah.
You know, the
centre
console is quite low in a 997.
Yeah.
And although the action of the lever is perfect, I prefer where it is in the 981.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say from my own experience, particularly in putting the 997 seat in the 996, is the seat promotes a much better seating position over 996. Of that, there is no question. Yeah. But I think it's not until the 991 and 81 platform, and indeed 992, that the seat position is perfected.
Right. Yeah,
because it is, again, it's not just where the seat is, which is on the floor. It's that relationship between the seat and the shifter and the wheel. Mm-hmm. And you know, that kind of magic triangle of interaction, really. Yeah. And that is important. Like you say, that does all come together, you know.
It's really important.
Definitely. The other thing, of course, is, and as you're saying, well, you know, you're trying things out, basically, Max. And it's fantastic that you're able to do that while still sitting under this Porsche umbrella that allows you to hang out with your mates at Cars and Coffees and indulge in the community and everything else. But there is genuinely like a sports car there for all tastes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm not sure, and I think I've said this before, haven't I? It's difficult to thinking about cars that I can potentially afford, you know, with that. Now I've got that 981, it's difficult to find, if I don't want to go for an older car because I like the modernity. So that's a nice thing about the 981. It's sort of, you know, modern and a bit kind of old school because it's got that beautiful 6-speed box. That's a great, I just wish the engine was a little bit further back.
So
I don't know what I'd like to drive, actually, which I haven't done, is a 7-speed manual 991.
Okay.
I'd like to experience that.
Yeah.
So that's something I have to look into.
Yeah, okay.
Just to see.
I think we need to get a drive in a T.
Or maybe a T, but I think budgetary-wise, that's
too much, yeah.
Funny thing about the T, I can't remember if I mentioned this to you or not the other day. I love the idea of a T, but I don't actually like the way they look. I don't like the aesthetic that makes a T, not a Carrera.
Okay.
I don't like the stickers and I don't like the colour of the wheels.
Yeah.
I love the inside, but every time I stand and look at a T, I think, no, I don't really like that. Okay. Then I look at the inside and I think, well, yeah, I like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I look at
the outside, I think I'd have to do silver wheels. And you think, what's the point in having silver wheels on a T?
Bloody obsessed, isn't he?
That's why the Carrera, the 991.2 Carrera that Henry's got, the manual one, looks so amazing, I think, because it's got great wheel design in silver. It looks brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
It really looks mega.
Yeah.
If I could afford that, I think I would potentially buy that car.
Mm.
But I can't. It's 67 grand or something. The 997, I think, is 41 or 42 grand. That's a car to buy. If anyone's looking for a 997 and the other fella hasn't bought it, that's a car to buy.
Because that's quite low mileage as well, you know.
Yeah.
There was down at Philip Raby, and actually just the link there is how our American experience that we do keep talking about, but it was important to us this year, kind of bringing some of that vibe back this way. It was down at Philip Raby last week, I think. They had two Prussian blue G-bodies in, a 3.2 Carrera and a 930 Turbo.
Mm.
So we thought, well, let's give that a try, narrow versus wide, etc. Natas versus forced induction. And they just had a 997.2 C4S come in, PDK. Good seats. I think it had just ticked into six figures.
Yeah.
So driven, not hidden. It wore, particularly on the inside, it wore its miles admirably. Like it was a nice place to be.
Yeah.
And the guys at Philip Raby are retailing that for 35. And you go, that is a whole, bear in mind, that's a Gen 2.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of car for the money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I know not everybody's buying at the moment, which is kind of fair enough. But if you are,
There's some
choice along there. Yeah, but I said to you off the podcast, Andy, last week that in driving those two impact bumper cars, enjoyed, I mean, I love a 930 anyway. That was a 4-speed, 400 horsepower. It had been fettled. And crazy thing.
Sounds like a bit of you.
Well, yes. I mean, again, I enjoyed them both more than I expected, because when someone says to me modified 930 turbo, I get a little bit nervous. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, have you buggered it, basically. So I was dubious on hearing about it, but actually on driving it, it was pretty cool. You know, typical 4-speed, so put your foot down. Had a hybrid turbo, so there's not a load of lag like factory, but like enough for it to still have that 930 character. Yeah. But the roads were moist, we shall say, and you put your foot down and the whole car kind of, shook sideways for a little bit before it go forward, you know. So it's a brave car to drive quickly. But the 3.2, on the other hand, your foot's down, your right foot's down the whole time. Yeah. You know, you're just playing with a chassis, which actually, bearing in mind narrow body on a public road, that's where the fun is to be had. And you're almost taking this racing line through these country roads around Goodwood. And you're just thinking, this is just fun. This is harmless fun. Definitely felt heavy. And like we spoke about this compared to SCs and that, because an SC, its charm is the torque. It's a bit real punchy. It's lighter than the 3.2. Definitely feel the heft of a 3.2 more. But just two totally different expressions of 1980s cars. And being in the G body in particular, I just thought, because we saw loads of them stateside and just fell in love with it. Then I personally came back to the UK and thought, it just doesn't work for us and our weather and everything. Not for me. And, you know, I'd have to sell the 996. So it's not really where I want to go. But just behind that G body, I thought, I could see this. I could see this happening, like, you know. Yeah. Just interesting how those influences shape maybe, even if it's 5 years down the line, you know, your experiences, even if your mate's lending you a car, you know, to us in automotive enthusiasts, it's just a little part of your brain where that stays lodged and, you know. Absolutely. Yeah. Might sprout at a different time.
Was it a G50 or a 915?
It was a 915. Yes, it was definitely a 915, actually. It was a little bit recalcitrant when cold, but when it warmed up, it was nice. Because, 915 is reverses in a different scenario, isn't it? But 915 is right and down for reverse, whereas G50 is left and up.
Okay.
Yeah. Excuse the cuckoo clock.
It's great to hear that again, actually. It's been on the pod in the past, isn't it? So, really cool, really cool. Nice. What about you, Andy B? What have you been up to car-wise?
Oh, I've been up, went out for a quick drive with guy Bobby, that is George's mate.
Yeah. With the Brewster GT4. Brewster,
that's it, with GT4. Yeah, we went out for a quick coffee and a drive the other day, which was nice. I drove his GT4, which was lovely, and he had a little drive of mine.
Wicked.
So it was nice to have a little run out.
Did that help your Spider aspirations at all?
Yeah, well, good question.
I know it was a GT4, not a Spider, but...
Yeah, it was nice. It's
nice. It was, oh dear. Nice. That's damning with faint praise, isn't it?
I don't know, I just love the older stuff more. It's just, more me, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I had to go for a new one, then the Spider would be there. But I don't know. Maybe I need to drive a Spider. I still haven't
driven one. What was that picture I saw on Instagram of, like, your car surrounded in smoke?
Yeah.
I was trying to recreate the sheep incident in Wales.
So I
came hammering down towards Bobby. We were on the Tartt Boulevard, as we like to call it, more Critchell. Taking some pictures and stuff. I yanked on the brakes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, got full lockup and smoking.
That was great. It reminded me of Stars in Their Eyes from back in the day. You know, the doors peel aside and someone comes through. It's like, there's an SC there. I was expecting, like, Michael Bublé or something.
Well, you almost did get Michael Bublé.
Fantastic.
So that was good.
Wicked.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Talking of Brooksy shots on Instagram, did I see that you've got some new sunglasses? Saw a picture of you and Sarah.
They were cheap ones that I bought in the US.
Oh, were they? Yeah, okay, yeah, so you haven't invested again yet?
No, not yet. No. I keep going through those Carrera sunglasses, keep ruining them.
Yeah,
I need to get some new ones.
It's just the greatest fallacy, expensive sunglasses. We're going way off topic here.
I know you have a problem with it, but I don't have a problem looking after my expensive,
really,
but not cheap sunglasses.
Yeah.
Less than £100, but more than £20 or £10, whatever you take.
No, I pay less than that, 100%. I go to Primark and buy about five, and then they just get broken over the next few weeks. But I've had expensive ones that have got broken, so it's, there we go. But anyway, we shall go. Let's get back on track, right? So two things really, I guess. So we're going to introduce a new feature to the podcast. So when we kind of came up in conversation when we went for a couple of beers with the Norwegians last week.
Yeah.
So again, as you may remember, for those listening at home, in the Road to Redline days, we had the 10 questions.
We used to do it at the end, didn't we?
At the end.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, and it was good, because there was the variance on those answers was really cool. And I guess we kind of always wanted to instill something of that ilk. So we're going to do something similar. We're going to put it at the start, just in a complete no context way, might help colour in the guest a little bit more before we dive into...
Make them feel comfortable.
Yes.
Because it always takes a little while, doesn't it? When you get a guest on, it takes them sort of 5-10 minutes just to sort of get in the groove. And
yeah.
It's a bit like a 915 gearbox. Just, a bit
of a warm-up.
Yeah, cold engine, cold mind as well, that sort of scenario. Yeah. So yeah, we're just going to ask these questions, grease them up a bit. And then we can dive into
good conversation.
Some good conversation. Yes.
So is it the 9-1 quick five questions? It
could well be, but there's four questions.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
You're going to need to think of another one then.
Yeah, yeah. It's the 9:30. But yeah, so we've got first car, worst car, best car, and next car. Okay.
Okay.
And there's one rule, and that is your worst car cannot be your first, because it's almost the go-to default. So it can't be that. So we thought, well, look, let's, I mean, to be fair, we asked each other these questions the other day.
But I think we should do it again.
Oh, I'd had a few beers, so I can't really remember. I can't remember what you said. I can't remember what I said. But it starts some good conversations. When we went to London the next day, we bumped into Toby and Greg as well. Big shout out to Greg. He joined the collective a couple of weeks prior.
Yeah.
Was in London for work, up very early the next day to help with the London to Brighton rally, I think it was. And came and joined us. And we asked the questions and it went down well. So we think, look, let's try that with guests going forward, maybe from next year. Hmm. Or it could be after, who knows. Yeah, but we'll start with us and just kind of go from there, really. So first, worst, best and next. And we will copyright trademark that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll start. Why don't we put you under the spotlight, Max, seeing you've been away.
Okay.
Well, there's a slight panic in his eyes here, listeners.
First car.
My first car, the car that I think of as my first car, although I didn't actually pay for it.
It's got to be your
first.
No. What? Are you bending the rules already?
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
go on, what's your expression? Well, then we'll tell you.
Yeah, we'll tell you. We're bending the rules.
It was my Sirocco 1.6 GT on a, I think it was a D, was it a C? C or a D plate.
Nice.
And that was my, that was like my first car. I was supposed to be paying my dad for it, but he and my mum separated and he went off to Norfolk, so I thought, I won't bother.
Oh, I think that's your first car, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's no
every cloud
there.
As well there, yeah, by the way. Exactly. That's absolutely exactly. Ideal, yeah.
Exactly. What a great first car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was cool.
Which cool. colour?
Silver.
Yeah.
And it had...
silver wheels, no doubt.
It did have silver wheels, but they were Audi 80 Sport, you know that?
Oh, yeah.
With the straight spokes, it had those wheels on it. It was a D reg because my sister had a C reg 1.8 GT, which is a much nicer car. So that was my first car. It got written off in the end. Someone pulled out in front of me.
Good car.
In a Fiat Uno, blue one. And the brakes were terrible and I just couldn't stop.
Oh, they were really bad. Right hand drive, they had this like little mechanism that was made out of pencils to basically transfer the braking pressure that you were putting on across to the servo. And it all used to flex and the bulkhead flexed and it was shocking on all Mark 1 Golfs and or Mark 1 and Mark 2 Sciroccos. They're just awful.
They're terrible. So that great got written off. And then I was sat by the side of the road on the bonnet. It was all very cordial. I had the hazards on and the thing caught on fire. I think because of some, because of the broken headlight and something, like that electrical thing caught on fire. Fortunately, I had a fire extinguisher in the car, so I put it out.
Did you really? Yeah. Preempted, right? Yeah.
So there we go. So that was my first car. Worst car came a couple after that. I then got a Mark II Golf, which also got written off. And then I didn't have a car for a little while. And then in desperation, I bought my only sort of non-German car that I've ever owned, which was a Renault 19. So that's a sort of Golf.
Oh, suck my teeth.
Equivalent, which was red. It was like super... I was living in High Wycombe at the time, walking to work, and I was walking past this shady used car lot, and he had this Renault 19, you know, like super clean, like low miles thing. And I thought, oh God, I think I just need to buy a car. So I bought it. It was horrible.
Really? Yeah.
Really horrible. Can't remember what happened to it. Oh, no. I think I traded that in for my Mark II GTI. So, you know, I made it good.
Yeah, but it wasn't
a nice car.
So what didn't you like about it? Just like everything? Or was
everything pretty much.
Yeah.
Was it just El Basico spec or something?
It was basic spec. Yeah. It was the only ill-considered car purchase I think I've ever made.
I wonder how many of those are left. Can't be many, can there?
So there can't be many.
Yeah.
I didn't damage it though. I didn't crash it or anything.
Well done.
I must have. I can't actually. You see, this is how how much I didn't like it. I can't actually remember what happened to it. Can't remember if I sold it or if I traded it in for that Golf or if I wrote it off. Who knows? Yeah, I just can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. Complete, like, yeah. Just yeah. Dull car has no, like, emotional yeah. significance exactly, on your life in exactly. any way,
just
shape,
nothing.
Or form.
Just a yeah. complete non-event. Yeah. Shouldn't have happened. Yeah. Wiped out my memory until you asked me the question.
Well, interesting as well that it's your only non-German car. Yeah. So, actually, yeah. you know, that's obviously maybe learned something there, yeah, I guess, yeah. for you, but...
Yeah, everything else has been a Volkswagen or a Porsche, an Audi or a BMW.
Yeah.
All the other things that I've owned. Okay, so that's worst.
Worst, yeah. yeah. So first and worst, we'd like your best car then.
Best. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? When you've only bought one bad car in your whole life, it's hard to think of which was the best one of all the best ones. Oh, man. It's tough. I'm going to plump, although, you know, this is like having to choose which child to shoot. I'm going to, because of its longevity, I'm going to say the 997, because I had that thing for 9 years.
Yeah, so for those that might not have heard the story before, 997.1 Carrera.
997.1 Carrera 2 Coupe Manual Bassart Black. Lovely car. Yeah. Early, September, late September 2004. So super early in 997 production.
Yeah.
I bought it in 2012 with just under 50,000 miles on it from Jamie, a Paragon. Mm-hmm. Kept it for 9 years, took it up to 110,000 miles or something. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So
many yeah. happy memories in that as
many,
well.
Many happy memories. That was a good car. Really
yeah,
good car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so I'd say that was best.
That's best, yeah. Okay, and then crucially, which you might have covered in the last 20 minutes, who knows, but next yeah. car.
Well, I mean...
Don't say a Passat Ultra.
Honestly, who knows? Who knows?
Not even you, mate.
I don't know. It's all up in the air. I mean, what could it be? It could be... you know, I've talked about this before. It could be an upgrade to a petrol Macan. I often think about that when I'm, you know... disappointed in the diesel. It could be a 997, could be a manual 991. Who knows? They're probably the three most likely options other than the Passat Alltrack. They're probably the three most likely options. But after my super time up with Henry and Chris up at Lakeside, nothing's going to happen anytime soon. You know, that was a really good experience and experiment, but you know, man maths just aren't there at the moment.
So, as I say,
I had such a nice time in the Boxster. I didn't have the top down at all that day, but the weather was beautiful, so I didn't have that sort of claustrophobic feel that I had on that miserable day when I went to Norfolk and back to see my dad. It was just all, you know, everything was good in the world kind of thing. And I really enjoyed the car. So not that I ever, you know, I don't want anyone to think, oh, yeah, Max bought a Boxster, he doesn't like it. The car's bloody brilliant, you know, but, you know.
Different strokes.
Hold the front page. No one's going to be surprised. I'm a 911 guy. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that, mate, yeah. either as well, you know. There's some fantastic answers in there, Maxi boy, 100%. It reminded me, actually, when we asked the Norwegians the other night, I can't remember which car Ola said was his worst, but he said it's just everything went wrong on it. It was a real basket case for a car. And I said, how quickly did it start going wrong? And he said, well, when I went to pick it up, it didn't start. So it was basically like immediately kind of
walk away.
Mistakes had been made. But yeah, so that was excellent. Yeah. Okay. Andy, let's put these questions to you then, mate. So we want first, worst, best and next. Yeah.
So first was a 1967 Volkswagen Beetle that I bought when I was 16.
Cool.
Yeah, I managed to get my dad to drive it and to buy it for me. £725, I think.
Oh, was it really? Yeah.
Then
yeah.
I then immediately started taking it apart.
Yeah, didn't it live on your parents' drive for a bit?
It did, yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't actually finish it, unfortunately. It kind of got taken apart. I did loads of welding on it. Did, you know, lots of buying panels, driving, getting my dad to drive all over the country to buy panels. I think I went up to London. There was places in like Clapham and stuff like that. I remember going on my little 50cc moped and strapping repair panels to the back of it. Going back to my granddad's garage. But then I moved down to
down the south coast when I was 19. So I got left up
So where
there.
Was that? Where was home at that point when you were doing that?
That was South London, okay. New Malden. That,
okay.
That was Mott's Park.
What about Carmen Connection? Did you get over there?
Yes, went over to Carmen Connection. I bought a adjustable beam. So I met Richie King all those years ago. So that's why it was kind of nice to meet him at Porsche by the Lakes. Yeah, because it's like, I came to your shop when I was 16.
Yeah, that's wicked.
Bought parts and stuff. So yeah, that was proper. Went to the first Bug Jam. Just a shame that, yeah, I moved and the car stayed back there. So
yeah, yeah.
On axle stands. Didn't get
finished.
Really? How long did you own that car for then?
I reckon it's probably about 10 years.
Excellent.
Yeah, right. It sort of hung around, you know.
Rotting on the
Not drive, rotting, no. No, no. It was a great car, really. It didn't need much. It just... Yeah. I shouldn't have gone in so deep, and I learnt so much from that.
Yeah.
That you've got to set boundaries to your project. Yeah. Otherwise, it just ends in.
Which you were very good at with the 903. You were very clear about what you were going to do and what you weren't going to do.
Yeah,
which was to your it's too easy credit,
to get carried away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm. So yeah, that was first car.
First lovely. Car. Yeah.
So, sloping headlamps.
Yeah, so lovely. Last year, sloping headlights.
It was. Yeah. Last Beautiful. Year, 6 volts.
Yeah.
1 year only. In fact, Johnny Smith has got exactly the same. Car.
Yeah. What colour was it?
Mine was white.
Was it a 1500?
No, 12. Okay. MNV111E.
Lovely.
Love it.
Yeah. So that's first.
First car, then worst car, please. That worst first. Car.
I think that was about my third car. Probably my second car wasn't so great. That was a Fiat Strada. So that was the first car I actually drove. Once I'd got my
they license. Look cool though.
They do now, don't they? But it was shit. It was awful, and that it was so rusty. That thing, bits the suspension fell off of it. It was only 5 years old, and it was just falling apart. It was awful. It had paper mache in all the wings. But anyway, worst car.
Like bow was it?
Yeah, definitely like bow. Shocking Fiat at that time. But the worst car was the one that I bought next. That Fiat Strada, I went into the back of a Metro when the brakes failed after I'd tried doing handbrake turns.
Officer.
Oh, yeah, honestly. And the headlights were like both popped out. So it was
those round, really round headlights.
It looked so sad, these headlights hanging out on the wiring harnesses. Oh, and I sold it, got rid of it. And I was looking around for a car. Oh, no, maybe it wasn't the next one, because then I had a Type 3 variant, I think.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
So go the next car, which is definitely the worst car. I bought this for £60 from a road just around the corner from my mum and dad's house. It was in the, would it have been Loot at that time? Sort of orangey-yellow paper, wasn't it? Like your free local paper. And £60, not running very well, smokes a little bit.
What, said that in the advert? Yeah. Oh yeah, that looks good.
Yeah. Some numpty will buy it. Yeah.
So I went
I'm your man.
Yeah. I'm there. So
hello.
I can fix
it. Is it still available?
I can fix this.
you'll know who I am when I tell. I've got a big hat on with a D on the front.
No.
You're gonna have to get around here quick. We've got a lot of people interested.
So I go round and have a look round it, and it's a Fiat FSO estate. Do you know?
It's
basically
a
Lada estate.
Okay.
But they were built in Poland. But it's proper like Lada. It's got the speedo that goes like long rather than round.
Okay. Like cool.
It's got crazy sort of weird shit going on. And I remember taking it for a little test ride around the block, and I literally filled the whole place, and when I'd gone back round the block and came back down the road, there was still the smoke there from when I'd left. It was bellowing out. It was proper fog machine. You could not see what was behind you. I'll take it.
I just imagine you winding the window down. I'll take it. Love it.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
But it worked all right. I was like, this will be all right. So I back then it wasn't forums. I don't know how I found out, but I found out that these things suffered with a problem with the crankcase breathers. So got onto the FSO dealer. They existed then, apparently. I think it was about 18 quid for this breather hose.
Mm-hmm.
Pop that on. Miracle fixed. So there it was, £76, I think that cost me in all, including the car and the breather hose. Drove it around for 3 or 4 months, got bored, as I always did with cars, and decided to sell it.
I'm surprised you didn't slam it. Yeah, that sounds like, good. That would look cool, wouldn't it? Yeah. On it moon was, discs or something?
It was like a light blue that, you know, when those light blues, they go all matty
and
creamy. So it was like that. It would have looked really good to slam.
Wow. VTEC engine swap, that would have been a tangent.
It's getting a bit far now. So yeah, decided to sell it. It had a problem with the rear tailgate. The old Rams didn't work, so it always dropped.
So drops on your head every time. Ah, oh, damn it.
So I had this guy rang me up and said, yeah, I want to come around, bring my brother around. And they said, oh yeah, we need an estate, like, want to go down the cash and carry and stuff. So it's cool, right, I'll come and have a look at the car. Started it up and everything, opened the rear tailgate, and I held it up.
I've got
and like let them have a look inside. Yeah, all nice, great, cool, yeah, good, put it down. We agreed on the price. I think I got 350 quid for it.
Blimey.
I remember.
Best investment ever.
Yeah. I did well, percentage wise. And then I saw them. Yeah, we did.
In hospital.
I did all the paperwork. And then they went out to the car. And the first thing they did, they didn't drive it off. First thing they did was open the boot to have another look inside. One opened it. The other one put his head in. The one that opened it, let go. It dropped down on the other guy's head.
It's a guillotine.
Took him out big style. And I was watching this from my bedroom window because this was at my mum and dad's house. I'm pissing myself. It's like, oh my God. So yeah, they drove off.
What, they didn't come back and knock on the door? You were like, buyer beware.
I think A&E was more of a pressing matter at the time than getting your money back.
So they drove off. That was cool. And then 3 weeks later, I remember hearing my dad on the phone, and basically they'd rung up and said we want our money back because the car had caught fire. There was some wiring under the dashboard had like lit up. And my dad, who's a very sort of not rude, you know, gentle, nice guy, basically just told him to F off. And that's the last time I heard of that car. So there you go. That's the really? Worst car.
Yeah. But that is a crack of a story. And I feel like it's a bad car. It's somebody else's worst car. Not so much yours. You know what I mean? That's amazing. Yeah. That's such a good story.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, blimey. All right then, we've had first and worst. We need best car next.
Oh, this was the difficult one, but I think it's the one that sort of hung around for a long time and meant so much to me, and that's a Volkswagen Corrado. It was the second one I had. I had a black G60 that I bought not far from here, actually, even though I was living in Southampton at the time. But the second one I bought was a left-hand drive. You can see a pattern coming here.
Yeah.
Air conditioner, no sunroof. It was dark violet pearl with a crazy interior in it.
Lovely.
Which was all standard. It was like a special edition called the Jet.
Oh, I've not seen that.
No, very un... It was only in Europe. They weren't over here in the UK.
Was it a G60?
G60.
Nice.
Yeah, and I pepped it up. It had Jabba Sport rebuilt the supercharger, had small pulley on it, air filter, mods to the box and everything. Cat. Like 100 cell cat, sports exhaust, coilovers, RS, BBS wheels, you know, had all the right stuff on it. It was lovely.
Is that a split rim wheel?
Split rim, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Number plate was G6 OGO, so it read G60 Go.
Yeah.
I bought that off of DVLA when they were like selling it off for a few hundred quid. But yeah, it was absolutely fabulous.
That sounds lovely. You got pictures of that? We're going to need to see that.
I've got a few pictures of that. In fact, if you go on my Instagram, right down the bottom, I think it's on there.
It sounds like the kind of car that you'd see in like Performance VW Mag or something.
Yeah.
I went to like, what was the old TRL GTI International?
Okay. Yeah.
So it was all, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds mega.
It was a proper nice
car.
I've
always fancied a Corrado.
Do you know, exactly the same. I just think they're so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
I did lots of things like the number plate surround was color coded, the all tail lights I made all red. It just had, it was proper OEM plus.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
It sounds like a car you should have now.
I wish I kept it. I sold it when I was made redundant and sold it to a guy that actually took it over to Spain. And
another one?
Yeah. Yes, actually, yeah. But he was an English guy. Yeah, I just thought that. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I'd not even connected that before. Yeah, it was an English guy called Nigel Brooks. He was living in Spain, wanted a Corrado, and saw my car for sale. I sold it for like $6,000 or something. It was crazy. I probably had like 15k in it and mods and stuff. It was shocking, really, when I look back.
What a shame. Wretched redundancy, eh?
Yeah. He had it quite a few years, about 5 or 6 years, I think. Then it came back to the UK, had a Audi turbo swap in it,
okay,
and got wrecked.
Was that the 180? And yeah, that's quite popular. Popular transfer, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a shame, really, because the G60 used to howl.
Yeah, in fact, that's the wine.
A story about the wine. I was going to work one day. I used to live down in Bournemouth at Coy Pond. And when you go toward, I was working in Southampton, and you'd go up Richmond Hill, and there's like an underpass there, and you go past this sort of little churchy type building. And there were some roadworks there. So I had to stop at the traffic lights for the roadworks. And I'd go up that little route every morning, sort of 7 a.m. on the way to work to get for 8 a.m. And this window flung open. It was a nice hot day from what I remember. And this window flung out from this building that was under the underpass. And this sort of trampy guy pops his head out. Oi, you... I'm going to blank that bit out. Absolutely giving me the F word. You little shit. You come past my house every day with that fucking car making that fucking noise and you wake me up every fucking day. He was like absolutely on it. And it basically the noise of the car every day used to wake him up at 7 a.m. Poor old bastard.
That's absolutely incredible.
Oh, dear. It used to whine like a banshee.
I love
those things.
Because you had VR6s as well, did you?
Yeah, I had a VR6 Corrado as well, which another different noise. Yeah. They've both got their
very
they're
different
both
noises.
Amazing noises. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know which one you'd pick actually.
Well, the VR6, and this is speaking like that same engine was in a Golf Mark III, wasn't it? It was very, very, he knows.
You say the same engine.
Yeah. Okay.
In the Corrado is a 2.9, and the Golf is a 2.8.
Right. Okay.
172 or 190 horsepower.
There we go. This is your man here. Your man.
But like 138 mile an hour top speed in the Golf. I don't know about the Corrado.
I don't know. I saw 155 on the speedo at one time.
Ah. On a private ride, obviously. Yeah. Well, in the context of the Mark III Golf, anyway, it's a very heavy engine, kind of really far forward, and you really felt that. Like the weight distribution was quite awkward. Probably not so much with the Corrado, I guess, just with the layout, but do you know what I mean?
It's still a little bit front heavy in the VR.
Yeah.
The G60 used to drift. I could get that, like, really, if you could do a bit of lift off oversteer in that and it would really slide nicely.
Yeah. I wonder what they're doing values wise these days. I just haven't looked at all.
VR6s.
Corrados generally. Oh. A VR6 or a G60, you know.
Probably looking about 15k for a really nice example.
Yeah, wow. more than you'd want to pay. That's I think they've gone through that. Didn't I think you and I, we swapped messages about it. Some could even be a year ago now. It was one of the like Fast Classics or Four Star Classics or someone like that. One of those guys down in Surrey, they had a VR6, a white one, you know, relatively low miles, you know, not a storm or anything like that. Yeah. And it was, I sent it to you and it was like, as you say, it was like 15 grand or something.
Yeah.
You were like, oh,
that's
God,
a lot,
just
a
too
lot
much.
Of wedge. Yeah. White as well, to be honest, I think that's probably the least appealing colour for me on a Corrado.
I remember seeing a, what was the yellow called?
Oh, that pale sort of yellow, like on the yellow. M3,
Yeah. I've forgotten the name of it.
I think in the BMW it was Dakar yellow, but that was the BMW colour.
No, it's not going to come back to me. I'm sure it will do later. But I remember seeing one of the very early, I think it was a press car, driving through London. It would have been one of the, like, Trafalgar Square or something like that. And it was just like, what is that? That is amazing. Yeah. It looked like the future. Yeah, it was just amazing back there in 89.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know why for me, and I appreciate we're going off-piste, but like, for me, a white car, like white sports car, hot hatch, whatever it is, I always think of a Japanese car, like Hondas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Integra type R.
All that type R, just picture white. For some reason, it just doesn't correlate in the same way with a Euro car. I don't know why. It makes no sense, but I quite liked the Corrado in red. I know that's completely like unadventurous, but I just thought they looked lovely. I think it showed like the hips and the like suede lines quite nicely, you know. But, so we have gone off piece.
Quickly, on the VR6 thing, we had a Golf VR6 as our family car when they came out.
Yeah.
We bought an early one, a K plate, K535, something or another, in a bit of a sort of viola kind of colour, which was called Dusky Mauve Pearlescent Effect.
So that was a similar colour to my Corrado. Mine was darker.
Yeah.
So it could look black on a sort of dull day, where that looked definitely a bit pinker.
And it was lovely. The engine was lovely, but our car, it was an early one. Mark III Golf didn't have a great reputation for build, and ours was a lemon, unfortunately.
Actually, my mate Pete had a Corrado in that colour.
Yeah, lovely colour.
Which he bought off a McLaren worker when, how long ago was that? In fact, he bought that on holiday. It's weird, isn't it?
Another one.
But that had design 90... wheels.
Nice.
Very cool. It looked brilliant. That was a good looking car. That was in that colour and those wheels.
Lovely. Yeah. Again, that was quite popular because I'm pretty sure they were four stud wheels.
Five stud.
Were they?
Five stud. Yeah. You had to have an
adapter then.
Adapter.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Because I feel like I've seen a lot of design 90 wheels.
Mm.
On that sort of car.
Right?
You had to get two fronts to make them fit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, two sets of fronts.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, grand. Absolutely good. Grand. So that was worst car. We've done best car, which was that Corrado.
Yeah.
So next car.
Oof. Next car. I think when we were talking Swedes the other night, I went a bit adventurous and was, I know what I went for actually, yeah. I'm going to stay with that.
Go on.
I'm going to track down Paul's old roof.
Yes.
That 3.8 turbo.
964.
With the big wing.
Yeah, that car. And Paul still says, why the hell did he sell it? Because that car is amazing. We were talking about it with the Norwegians and how it was the car when you stepped on the lion's tail when you put your foot down on that thing. I wish you had driven that.
Talk me through it.
Cause that it looked like a 964 RS 3.8. That was the kind of look of it, wasn't it? But I know that's not what it was.
Yeah, it was a 3.6 turbo.
Right.
Started as 3.6 turbo and was converted by Roof.
Okay.
So it's a 3.8, had a 6-speed 993 gearbox in it.
Right.
Lots of lightweight stuff, interior wise, pole positions stripped out. I think it had alloy wings and bonnet on it.
Okay.
Oh. Had a few sort of, you know, nice bits.
Yeah.
Looked pretty standard 3.6 turbo. Had the speed line splits on it.
Yeah.
It was big wing on the back. It drove off boost. It felt like an RS.
Okay.
It just had that delicacy to it. The sort of, you know, it felt light on its feet. It danced down the road. But as soon as you put your foot down, first time I did it on a bit of dual carriageway going out of Paul, it just blew my mind because it was like stepping on a lion's tail.
Proper old school turbo, proper boost.
Big boost and so much noise. The noise it made was outrageous.
It was, yeah. Yeah. I remember hearing it.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, proper Jekyll and Hyde car. Yeah. But so well done, so well put together. It really cemented Roof for me.
Yeah, and that to me, that how you're describing that is the mastery of Roof. Because again, when you think, you know what, big power 964, which is what some people could mistakenly call it. Again, to me, I think, well, you know, but is that, it's not just about a pub figure, as we say, you know, it's about how that is delivered and the experience. And that's where Roof, because as we know down the years, they've made some massive power cars.
Yeah.
But it's just the way they drive is so exquisite. And I really get what you're saying, where, you know, off boost, it's kind of got that delicacy of an RS.
Yeah,
really.
Then you put
your foot down.
Because
I'd
driven an RS not long before. So I had really good sort of memory of.
Yeah. So that's a bang on statement, to be honest with you, is how that kind of surmises Roof, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty good. Yeah. First worst next. Well,
when that's going to happen? Need to win the lottery.
Yeah, it was like we were saying at the start of the podcast. It all starts with the driver of a mate's car.
There you go.
Yeah. Excellent.
Good. So yours, Lee. First. So,
yeah, my first car was a Mark IV Polo. R65HNS. And was, as we said before, love it. Because my dad, when he bought the car for us, picked me up from the train station from college, and he just veered left at one stage and got in this car or went next to it. And I was like, what on earth are you doing? He said, I'm getting in your car. And I was like, what? That's amazing. He goes, yeah, this is your car. I was like, no way. And then he walked round to the back, pointed at the number plate and said, HNS, how nice, Sibbo. And I was like, yeah, quality. So I've always remembered that. But yeah, it was a 1 litre. And said the story before, put a 1.4 of like the 16 valve engine in it, basically.
Yeah.
Engine swap.
And I mean, again,
didn't declare it on the insurance though.
Not a chance.
Yeah. And the engine inside again, because it's that Harlequin Polo, like multicolored panels. And I basically did a Harlequin engine bay. So like painted up the underneath of the bonnet and like the rock covers and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Just for a bit of fun. Cause I was very much into like the show scene at the time. Yeah, so I had RMs on that eventually. Yeah. Like I remember explicitly my student loan coming through and I went straight on the Wheel Whores website.
Oh, and, what a great site that was.
Brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah. Brilliant. And I remember buying the t-shirt and it just said I Heart Rims across it, walking into my local pub and thinking, I think I've made a mistake here. This is the wrong audience. This is not a Sunday morning at, you know, Cars and Coffee. Yeah. Is it? Yeah. So that was a mistake. But,
Bend over Lee.
But that was great. That was wicked. So yeah, warm memories with that car, 100%.
That's quite a nice shape, that car. It's quite a nice looking car, I think. That generation Polo.
Nice. Yeah. Do you know, again, and like that could be, I wouldn't really say, because the next one obviously is worst car.
Yeah.
I think overall I've been fairly lucky with my cars.
Yeah.
The best one's quite a difficult one. And that Polo could potentially be in there just because I have so many warm memories attached to that car. When we put a Mark V front end on the car, so it was a 4.5. There's only two in the country that I'd seen. I saw one bloke do it, and it was on the cover of Performance VW. I said, I have to do that. Went straight down a scrapyard, bought a Mark V bumper.
Yeah.
And me and my dad, just over this summer holiday in between uni, you know, putting it all on, spraying the car, and just like warm memories, you know, which makes it really. But
I think my favourite car, because I used to read Performance VW, I think my favourite feature car from there potentially was a Mark IV Polo with a VR6 swap in it, a black one.
This was metallic blue. It was with like he had Recaro seats and like a brown leather like custom interior. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So that was first car. Worst car, now my mates would say without any shadow of a doubt would be a Smart Brabus that I used to have. A Smart, you know, Smart 4.2, isn't it? It's called the two-seater box thing. And it was known as the bin bag because people would come, because it was small and it was a black car, so it was small and black, and people would come round and say, I don't know if you know, but someone's left a bag of rubbish chilling outside your house. And it was this car. I got a lot of stick for it, but I quite enjoyed it. The worst
good,
car,
those sort of things.
I thought, for what they were, do you know what I mean? It was wicked. And but worst car, I'd probably say the Cayenne. And again, that could in some ways be the best car because it did everything that myself, my wife and, you know, our lifestyle needs with owning the dog or having the dog and everything else. It fitted it. The big issue with that was just the money to run it.
Yeah.
Mm. Boys, honestly, so much money to run that.
And, it's always put me off them.
I
want one to, and Sarah loves them.
Yeah.
She so wants one. Every time we see one, like the first gen.
Yeah.
Oh, I love those. And I'm like, oh, that's almost permission, but I just know it's going to financially ruin us.
And it was. And, you know, because that one was the diesel. And this is the thing, it's a love hate. You know, I didn't outright dislike the car. I loved it. I loved driving it. But then, you know, I mean, Laura and I, again, we would refer to it as the fun vacuum because, you know, we'd have to go on a nice little drive enjoying ourselves. And then it's like the car would go, nope, too much fun being had here. Engine lights coming on. And it would always be something intricate and expensive.
Or the fuel light.
Or the fuel light, yeah. And, you know, just constantly. And I have to say, you know, that's why we got rid of it. And Little Irish has been the daily. And yeah. I know it's had a couple of things, but like, it's just easier to maintain. Yeah. There's less on it, so there's less to go wrong.
Yeah.
So probably, yeah, probably that really, yeah. But it's, you know, it's by no means you know, dead ringer basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no FSA.
No, yes, no. Exactly that, you know. So yeah, that's worst car. Best car, Little Irish, I think. Just because, again, a fantastic car has given me so many awesome experiences and memories that I'll always cherish. But also as well, you know, being honest, I think it's kind of helped me out a little bit and maybe my career, because some mm-hmm. people, you know, don't know me, but they know the car.
Yeah, it's infamous.
It's really kind of rewarding when you go to a show and someone says, oh, it's so great to see it in the metal.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, it's just the daily, you know.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if that would be so if you'd painted it Zenith.
Without a doubt, I think that was, you know, the going green was definitely
the right thing to do,
definitely, yeah. Because it is unique. But yeah, so I have to acknowledge that as well. And yeah. I think that has almost opened some doors in a way, yeah. You know, it helped with YouTube views and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'd probably say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
Interesting,
yeah.
Isn't it, that our three best cars, that's not, although they're all, you know, all really good cars, but it's not their competence or their excellence as driving machines, which has really made us plump for that. It's about longevity and experiences, and
you know,
it's other things, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. That's made you choose Little Irish over something else, and you, the Corrado, and me,
yeah.
The 997, when maybe probably the 991 was probably a better car, but it doesn't resonate quite in the same way when I'm thinking best.
I've got lots of memories in that Corrado was doing like a trip to Germany and Holland,
yeah,
and doing a Corrado show in the Netherlands, meeting a mate out in Germany. Well, I had it when Sarah and I first met.
Oh, that's the car you pulled her in, isn't it?
It is, yeah. She always talks about, because it had a Clifford alarm on it that you could start remotely. That wowed her. And we went away for a weekend. We went up to Sheffield. Then we went down to Brent Waters for like a track day, and like a real sort of, you know, one of those bonding road trip days. So it's got lots of memories for that sort of thing. So those are key, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly emotion is connection.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you're almost looking for, your tangible is the intangible.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter on the horsepower. It doesn't matter how razor sharp the throttle response is. Right. Not really. What you remember is, you know, our near head-on collision in Wales. Now we all laughed about it, you know, and just silly things. So many awesome memories. Driving to Norway with my dad earlier this year.
But so goes back to the hidden, not driven, doesn't it?
Because, without a doubt, yeah.
Because driven, not hidden, Irish was just sat in the garage.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't mean anything to you.
Well, 100%. And I know I mentioned as a quick side last week with the 40ara, which is going into storage very shortly with John, as I said, but I have actually done 2,000 miles in that car since I bought it, and I've driven it a little bit more lately because I haven't completely trusted Little Irish and after breaking down in Europe, but again, that is such a slow burner. And again, so what, Philip Raber driving that G-body car, and you think, oh, I think this is a happy space in here, I can see this happening.
Yeah.
Mm. And then driving the 40ara, doing more miles in it, it's just kind of peeling back some of the layers on that car a bit. Genuinely, like, with every mile I do in that car, the more I am loving it, and I'm like really seriously loving that car. But again, you need, like you said, the time behind the wheel in order to bond with it, you know.
We've taken you off.
Yeah, sorry. There, yeah. So the last question is next car, next, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think aspirationally a G-body. I think realistically it's going to be a Boxster, a 986, or if I can, I think a 987.
Yeah, love a 987.
Just for the difference. I'd like, if it'd be a daily run around that's fun and enjoyable. The 986, yeah, look, it'd be three of that. 986/96 platform might be a bit overkill.
Yeah.
The 987, it is a lick on in money, which is the issue for a daily for me. But I think they're good looking cars.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, they what they lack in aggression, I think they make up for in other ways. Yeah. And it's just a nice, unoffensive sports car that I think is good fun to drive, nicely built inside.
Yeah, I think they're nice. And I tell you what I really like, given that on a 997, I really don't like it. I love a 987 Boxster on crab claws.
Yeah, right.
I think they look excellent.
Yeah. Well, Phil Raby had a guard's red.
Lobster claws. Is that what I mean?
Crab claws. Oh, yeah, I love it.
Lobster. Yeah, they'd... Phil Raby had a guard's red one in recently. Ooh. Not on those wheels, mind. Black leather manual. And I thought, oh, that does look good.
Nice.
But yeah, just a bit too much for me for a daily car at the moment. But I think that's a reasonable next car.
So that would slide in as a daily so the little Irish doesn't have to shoulder that burden, and the 40 hour is never going to be a daily anyway.
It
slips in there, and a bit of drop top for the coast.
Yeah, but again, like, you know, I need to have some sort of project again. I always like to tinker.
Yeah,
not myself, as I've said, I'm a checkbook mechanic, but I like to have things on the go. And Little Irish for me is at a stage where I enjoy it as it is. I never want to fall down that mousetrap of changing things for the sake of content. Like, that doesn't interest me in the slightest. So I think, well, let's start again. Let's bring one of those into maybe a fast road project, but then could blossom in a couple of years into maybe a track car that we could say to other members of the collective, well, look, if you want to have a go, if you want to have a track day but don't want to use your own car, obviously we need to work out an insurance scenario with that, but maybe try this. Or if you're live abroad and you come on one of our road trips, you don't want to take your own car, we'll maybe take that. I don't know that works out, but I'm happy to share that. So we'll see.
Good.
We'll see. Cool.
Yeah, cool. Good. Man.
So I think we've proved the concept of first, worst, best, and next.
Very well played. I remembered.
We'll be using that in the future.
Yes.
Maybe we should, if we've got a week where we haven't got a guest on, maybe we'll ring one of our patrons.
Yes, good idea.
One of our collective.
Yeah.
Give them the opportunity to answer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So it just helps colour the person in a little bit more, I think. Yeah. So, excellent.
Good.
What else we got? To admin.
Yeah, a bit of admin.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of new collective members.
Oh, awesome.
Because we didn't do any last week. And we've gained quite a few this week.
Oh, super. All right, yeah. Absolutely super. What I will just say at that point, Andy, while you're getting the list up, is so this week just gone, we did, because for us members in the Northern Hemisphere, as we're heading towards winter, we may be coming a little bit more hidden, not driven. But we want to keep the Porsche passion flowing. So first Monday night, GMT will be 8 p.m. Of every month, we'll do a Porsche quiz. So we did the first one this week. Andy, you joined for a bit, which was excellent.
Yeah, sorry, I was a bit late.
And no, you're all good. You're all good. I think you still did admirably on the scores. So it's just an hour, another way to meet other members. And, you know, regardless of where you live, you can get involved. I'm also aware that a lot of what we've done just of late, which is through more luck than chance, I guess, there's been a lot going on the South Coast. So, you know, yeah, we're aware we need to make sure we are appealing to all, and you know, we will be making that happen as best we can. I know for a fact that we've got in March, and I need to check the exact date, we've got a Cars and Coffee booked in up in Wigan.
Cool.
So that's with Shine On, Valetors and Detailers. Rob there, top man, fellow Wigan Athletic man. So I will just check the date on that, but I think it's the third Saturday in March. Mm-hmm. Third Sunday in March. Maybe around the 22nd, I think. But I'll double check that for next issue. Yeah. But we've next episode, having a nightmare. We'll be heading northwest, certainly, for Q1 next year.
And we've got something coming up in a couple of weeks, actually, haven't we, which is mid-country.
Yes, RPM Technics. So we're going to do a live podcast to finish the year, really. A bit of an early Christmas party for collective members, I think.
Are we going to enforce that rule I came up with earlier?
What's that? Jumpers?
Christmas jumpers.
I'm on the fence on that.
Maybe it's not an admission thing, but, you know, let's join in with the party and get your Christmas jumpers out.
Christmas jumpers or Nine Works.
Or merch. Nine Works.
They're the only ways of getting in.
Yeah. Why not? But if you don't want to do either of that, we're not going to turn anyone away. Andy,
blown it. Yeah. Andy, edit that out, Andy.
He
wants to look cool.
Isn't he does. He just wants to look cool, doesn't he?
I haven't got any Christmas clobber. And I remember, because they used to be back at Future or Imagine Publishing at the time, I think there was like a Christmas jumper day. And I just thought, really, I'm going to book a road test for that day. I'm out of the office, not getting
bar humbug, that. Eh?
Just, yeah, yeah. Jesus.
I ain't doing it.
Blimey, he wants right. some tight-fitting little bloody fashionable number, doesn't he?
I think we should dress him up.
Yeah.
He's got no choice. We're going to dress him.
Yeah. That and
it's cringing.
That and the quarterly town halls. You just think, you just get the email through. Town hall, 2 weeks' time, you think, oh, I've got a feeling I've got a road test that day. But anyway, so that is 30th of
November.
Now, I sent, because we offered it to Works and Hero Drivers first and then Privateers as per the perks of the different memberships. I think by the time it got to rookies, there were 6 tickets left. I think as of now, when we record, there's 2.
Oh, really?
So we're pretty much full house for that, which is amazing. We're going to have a couple of people from the industry there. Obviously, Greg and the guys from RPM
we'll
Technic.
We'll have a little reserve list for that.
We will. To cater for some dropouts. But yeah. Henry from Lakeside Classics is going to be there. Yeah. He's probably going to try and... We might bring a 997 for you, Max. Who knows?
Well, yeah. I did think that, you know, prior to it not... going ahead, I did think if this comes off, then that could be an opportunity for Henry to bring it down and us to swap cars. I'd run the thing through, thinking about all the angles, but there we go.
Maybe bring it anyway, Henry. We've got Jonathan Franklin as well. He's going to come along. So it's going to be a chance for the audience to put some questions to the experts on all things to do with the marketplace.
Timely.
Yeah, it is, you know, and like going into next year and, you know, whatnot. Yeah, lots to discuss in there. So I think that's going to be a really good, really informative piece, because between the experts we'll have on that top table, there's decades worth of experience. What we're going through now, they've seen it and done it before. They've bought the T-shirt. So there's going to be some great insights. Good. That's the 30th. Yeah,
looking forward to it. I was pretty pleased, actually, with our sound quality at the Tony Hatter event.
It was banging, Andy.
It was good.
I have to say, Mr. Soundman there.
Yeah, the YouTube thing worked well as well. I was watching something the other day. I think it was a Porsche Club of America, and their sound quality was awful. And I was thinking, jeez, we hit the mark there. We've done well.
Well, you've done that, mate. Because, I don't know what you do, but whatever you do works. So, you are Mr. Tech Man.
So. Good. So, yeah.
Good work, mate. Good work.
Yeah, that would be sounding good at RPM as well.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Third Sunday in March next year is the 17th. Does that ring a bell?
We'll come back to you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it's the day after Wigan are at home to Blackpool.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So however that stacks up.
Yeah. Just look at the
fixtures.
Look at the fixture list. Yeah. It's the day after. Yeah.
Cool. Right. Should we hit
some members? Yes.
New members.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. First up is Mark Sloan, who's a privateer. He apparently has fond memories of meeting Lee.
Over
in Ireland, Northern Ireland, on the Antrim coast.
Yes, 2017, I think that was. So Mark had a lovely 964 at the time, and
for
Total 911, we did a feature, his 964 against the 3-2 Carrera, and we kind of documented the evolution into what was at the time the third generation 911, because Porsche said the 964 was 80% new. Yeah. So we were looking at that. Yeah, what a top guy Mark is. I have to say, he's been a big supporter, certainly, of my work since then. So it's great to have you on board, Mark. Thank
Absolutely.
You, mate.
Apparently that 964 went to New Zealand.
Did it really? Yeah, wowzers. Yeah.
He now has a 981 GT4 in the garage.
Nice. Very nice.
Very nice. Lightweight buckets, white. Okay. Raphael Chandler, who's a works driver, is in Leeds in West Yorkshire. He currently has a 997.1 turbo Tiptronic, which has all unfortunately been off the road, it's at RPM.
Okay.
So RPM are fixing it. Maybe pick it up on the 30th.
Yeah, good idea.
Great shout. So is that just being renewed, I take it, if it's been off the road for a while? Or
Engine out, having some work done. Long story, but we have it back in a few weeks.
Yeah.
His daily driver is a Taycan Cross Turismo 4S.
Superb.
Cool.
And what motivated him to become a member was listening to the latest podcast about the Porsche Museum.
Yeah.
Wanting to get on a trip sometime in the future.
Super duper.
Good to have you aboard. Paul Newlove, who is a privateer, lives in the Cotswolds, currently on his seventh Porsche, 718 Boxster GTS 4 litre.
Oh, yeah, which he's just picked up, Arctic Grey.
Yes, that's it, yeah. Some nice cars in the past, 964 C4, 944 S2, 997.1. 2S Carrera, 718S, 997.2 GTS, 991.2 Carrera T, and now the Boxster. Yeah, in Arctic Grey, as you said.
Yeah, that 964 is in a lovely green colour, isn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, in the pictures that you put on the group, really did look good.
Nice.
I'd like to hear more about that car.
Was that like Amazon or something? Or
it's a flat.
That's a great colour.
Amazon. It's a flat green, but lighter than sort of Viper and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Looked good. Really did look good. I was wondering if it was from factory like that.
Yeah.
Let us know on the group, please, Paul.
Yeah. Welcome aboard. Right. Next up is Serge Patrick Heselton. God, I'm so bad at this, aren't I? It's based in Liverpool. Introduced to Nineworks by his best friend, Gary Spencer.
Ah.
Currently driving a 987.1 Cayman S in Guards Red. So that was the second Guards Red that we've had in the last couple of weeks.
Nice bit of stance on that one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think he'd had it up to
Centre
gravity.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Has had the other guy that had a Cayman S as well. I think they did almost mirror pictures of their cars up on the ramps. Okay, John Miller, his works driver, is based in Banbury in Oxfordshire. He was at the 993 event.
Amazing. Yeah.
So great to have you aboard. And thank you for bringing your car out.
All that way. Yeah, big time.
Beautiful 993 C2 coupe. That was one that was parked right by the front door. I can't remember. Dark colour, not black.
But arena? There was an arena red right by the door.
The next one back.
Ah, okay.
Also has a 964 C2 coupe and a 911 ST hot rod.
Oh,
and John, I think's had lots of different cars and was based over in Australia and has come back.
Lovely. Great cars in the mix there.
Yeah. Some real good stuff.
Yeah, some nice pics shared on the group all of that.
Yeah.
Good to have you on board.
Absolutely.
Local-ish to me.
Oh,
hanging out at the Cotswolds crew.
Nice. Right. Jeremy Leach, privateer, has got a Carrera T. And was on the Norway trip, I believe.
He was, yeah.
Based in Oxford.
He said to me on the last day in Norway, he was going to sign up. So, Jeremy, lovely bit of turbo lag on that Carrera team, mate. Lovely bit of turbo lag. It's brilliant. Lovely to have you on board, my man. Thank you.
Excellent. Right. Next up is James. Now, he actually put the pronunciation in words for me, so I couldn't get it wrong. And that's Vasey. James Vasey from West Sussex. He has a 986.22.7, which he picked up on the 11th of October and then immediately drove to France on the 12th of October to go and see his mum.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah, he hadn't seen his mum for a long time or something, had he?
Yeah,
jammed it straight over there.
Brilliant. And he also talked about his dad, who used to have a Ferrari for years, but he never used it. He was scared of using it. And James managed to convince him that he should buy a Porsche. So he bought a 997. And has practically used it every day since. I think he bought it from Paragon, 997.1 Aero Kit.
Oh, yeah, C4S. The red one.
That's it.
Yeah, that looked pretty glam, didn't it?
It's never been in the garage since. It was always out and ready to be used.
Superb.
Nice little story. Okay, Simon Davey, who is a privateer, based on the Worcestershire and Gloucestershire border, drives a 987.1 Cayman. Now, we both met Simon. He was at Goodwood Festival of Speed. He works for Singer.
Oh, yeah. What was his nickname?
What is it?
Moly or something?
No. Motron or something.
Magnetron.
No,
that's his Instagram.
That's his Instagram. What is it?
Simon? I can't remember. It was funny, whatever it was. I loved it. And I really enjoyed our conversation, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of just underneath the
sculpture. That's right.
Basically.
That's it. Yeah. Top guy. Really nice guy.
Yeah. Amazing. Great to have you on.
Yeah. Great to have you aboard. Thank you for joining up. Nice to have somebody on the inside of Singer.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Gossip.
Yeah. No, we wouldn't get any. They're very tight. Very tight. Right. Another Simon. Simon Jessup.
Yes.
Has joined up. Works driver. Welcome aboard. Does he need any introduction?
one of the best photographers, car photographers in the UK, I think. I think that's a fair and accurate statement.
Spent the 993 event driving Simon's 993.
You did, yeah.
While he was hanging out the window, taking some amazing pictures.
Yeah.
Good to have him aboard.
Yes, I was going to say, very talented photographer and a splendid guy as well.
Yeah. Top guy, Simon. Yeah, great snapper, as you say. Yeah. Very inspirational and very helpful for me, actually. We chat a lot. He's a good friend of mine, Simon.
Brilliant. What does he say to you? Do it again, but take the lens cap off.
Yeah, pretty much. And get some cords.
Yeah. Okay, next up is Paul Bridges, works driver based in Penarth near Cardiff. Another 993 driver, black on black. He wasn't at the event. He was meant to, but his car was having some work done on it. Couldn't get it done in time.
Yeah.
993 Carrera S in black, 1997. I think you may have seen the pictures on the WhatsApp group in the last few days. Really lovely looking car. And he's doing loads of miles in it.
Was that the one? It was on the lift at home. I envied his home setup. And it said kills bugs fast across the back
wall.
No,
that's David Bruno.
Ah, okay. Right. Yeah.
Who hasn't joined yet. Okay. Hint.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it either. Okay. Sorry, so you're thinking the other one, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's a turbo David Scott. Yeah. So, yeah, welcome aboard, Paul.
Absolutely.
I look forward to seeing the car soon.
Yeah.
Next up is Neil Rogers, works driver from Cambridge. He, again, was at the Tony Hatter event. He brought along his silver 1997 993 Turbo, which had the red interior, if I remember rightly.
Yes, so Tony and I were following that car near the start of the rally, and it just looks exceptional. No, there's I know not necessarily your sentiments, Andy, but a lot of people say a 996 C4S been one of the best bums of any 911 model. I personally would put a 993 Turbo, really right up there.
Agreed,
to be fair. Like that is agreed. That's a wonderful sight. So that was a real joy following that car.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
Lovely to watch.
And silver's a great colour to accentuate those.
Yeah, it is, you know.
That shape. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah.
And red interior, that sounds cool.
Yes. Yeah. Seriously nice. Right, and then I've got a few upgrades. We've got Mark Willis, who's gone from Works to Works Plus to get the Mags subscription.
Good man.
Matt Coleman, again, not again, from Privateer to Works Plus.
That's awesome. Yeah. And Matt's from Yorkshire as well, which his words, not mine. Yeah. So, you know, fair play, Matt.
He was on the quiz the other night and he looked like he was in the Millennium Falcon.
His office seat was, big points for that.
And like it's dark and then amazing head lighting as well. It was quite a crazy sight. I was going to mention it, but I've got to bring it up now anyway.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we've got Kev Lyons, who has upgraded from Privateer to Works.
Amazing.
Nice amazing. Work, thank you so much to everybody.
Honestly, I think we'll talk about this more in our end of year pod, but it's just incredible to have so much support and so many people wanting to be part of this community. As we said at the start, we're not chasing numbers. We just would love for good people to enjoy these cars and the community in the same way that we do. That's honestly phenomenal. The new joiners and the upgrades. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool.
Amazing. I think in the spirit of tradition, we should finish with a spread the love. And I don't know if you've seen a gem of the week beforehand, Max.
Well, I mean, I was thinking gem of the week. I mean, I've talked about it quite a lot anyway, but if it hasn't been sold, the 997.2 Carrera at Lakeside Classics, I've driven that. I don't often get to drive the gem of the week.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But that is just such a super car. The only two things, and if people go to the marketplace and have a look at it, there are two things I noted about it, which I looked at when I got there. It's got Zonsport grills on it, which is a very good thing, but they're silver.
Okay.
So they really stand out.
Yeah.
Makes it look a bit chintzy, a bit like a 40R or 996. Yeah. It'd be better if they were black, I think.
Yeah.
And also it's on spacers. So it looks like 15s on the back, 5s at the front. I'd probably take them off. I think at the back it's definitely too much. But if you look at the picture and you think, I'm not sure if that looks a bit different to me, then it could be those things. Yeah. Those things are easily changed. The car is great.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Very nice. Good. Very good. Yeah. Very good. So we'll finish with a spread the love, I think.
Yeah.
Quality. I don't mind jumping in.
Go on.
First
Go
thing.
On.
So I know it's a bit, you know, almost, do you say it when you're on a car thing? But that sometimes we drive and sometimes we socialise and obviously not at the same time. But the Tom Cribb is a fantastic little battle cruiser just off Leicester Square in town. And when we went to London with the Norwegians, he said they want the kind of quintessential British pub experience.
Yeah.
That was one of a couple that okay. we sample, but it's a really nice spot. You can maybe take your significant other in there. It's not a lads thing. It's a nice little spot. Nice drop of Guinness, and it's a good place to go if you want a little tipple before the theatre, because all the theatres are around. So,
yeah,
nice little boozer.
Lovely.
Very good.
I would like to spread the love to all the 993 drivers that... I don't know how we did it, and thank you to everybody that... made it.
Yeah, it was ludicrous.
Made it on last Thursday to gather that amount of drivers, especially of 993s. They're sort of, you know, quite highly prized, aren't they? And there were some amazing cars there. I think Chris, who was driving the C2S, that car has only got 8,000, 9,000 miles.
Really? Bloody hell, yeah.
So that's the silver car that's pictured in the tunnel.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow.
And he did a dissertation with Tony's input. It's got an amazing story. You need to hear that if you haven't.
Yeah.
But yeah, he bought that car from Paragon a year or two ago.
Okay.
And it's, yeah, not got many miles on it, but he brought it along, got it dirty and absolutely loved it and enjoyed and feels like he wants to drive it more and more. So
brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic.
Amazing.
Absolutely. So brilliant. Little,
yeah. Thank you to everybody that came along. It was just amazing.
Absolutely. Echoed. So. Definitely. Yeah.
Amazing.
Definitely.
Yeah. I was really sad to miss what I knew was going to be an amazing event. You know, Tony's a, you know, really super guy. I've had the privilege of chatting to him before. So yeah, really sad to miss that. But I was away. I was in Cornwall. I was in Penzance, to be more specific, which is where my Spread the Love comes from for this week. Continuing my sort of theme, but in a different part of the country.
Yeah.
There's a bakery. Now, Penzance is a cool place. It's not the glamour of Cornwall by any means, but because of that, it's attracting artisans and creatives who are coming away from the what are now the tourist traps of Cornwall and either finding their way back to Penzance or going to Penzance, and it's flourishing. And there's this bakery called Loaf's.
Yeah.
You can find them on Instagram. Two guys, I call it punk baking. You know, they got a lot of tattoos. The place is really funky. It doesn't look like a bakery, but they're doing amazing things with their baking, with pastries and that sort of thing. It's also where I had my best coffee in Penzance from. So Josh and Tom run it. They do like cruffins, which is a thing, which is a mix between a muffin and a croissant.
Oh, yeah.
but also, you know, they do your croissant and pain au chocolat and pain au raisin and almond croissant. But
whereabouts in Penzance?
It's on the causeway. So it's at the top of town, a pedestrianised bit, which is becoming a bit of a focus for independent traders and artisans. But my favourite was the maple and pecan croissant.
Oh.
Incredible. I thought it might be a bit much.
Nice.
But it's fantastic.
Did you make it to our favourite mackerel sky as well?
Three times.
Oh, good man. So down in Newlyn, which is just further down country from Penzance, just the next little town.
That could be a spread the love.
Hold
on to it.
Well, no, I'm going to give it now. Let's go for it. And that is Mackerel Sky, which is a little fish restaurant that's right on the corner of, right by the little river in Newlyn. And it is absolutely fantastic. Every time we go down there, I'm eating two or three times in a week.
Yeah. It's a great place. Yeah, we went there three times.
Good, cool.
Really, really super place. Some great food.
Great food.
But so there's excitement. Newlyn's a super place. You know, there's some great places there that we can talk about in the future. But yeah, Penzance, Loaf's, get yourselves in there if you have any reason to be in Penzance. If you want coffee, pasties, best Cornish pasty I've ever had. And pastries, maple and pecan is the one
good
for
recommendations.
Me. So, good to meet you guys. I had good chats with them. They're good guys doing good things.
I think that wraps it up for today, didn't it?
Marvellous.
Just want to say, Max, genuinely fantastic to have you back, mate. It's lovely to get the band back together.
Nice to do it in person as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got a few of those coming up over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
You've been missed, so it's nice to have you back, dude.
It's good to be back.
Excellent. See you next week. Thank you.
This episode was brought to you by our very kind Driven Not Hidden Collective. If you would like to join the collective to get further access and rewards within the Nineworks community, you can do so at patreon.com/Nineworks. You can also support us by leaving a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app.